Our scripture reading for this afternoon comes to us from Psalm 148. And you waters below, above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. And we now turn to Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And you can find that on page 876 of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. There, the word of our God in regard to the providence of God is summarized for us as follows. What do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which God upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for the future we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature will separate us from his love. For all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will they can neither move nor be moved. So far the summary of God's word. Beloved congregation of Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Lord's Day 9 already gave an overview of what this means. The Catechism explained that God the Father created heaven and earth and all that is in them. And after creating everything, God the Father didn't step back. He continues to uphold and govern everything by his eternal counsel and providence. Nothing happens by itself. The Catechism stresses the power and care of our Heavenly Father. And this gives us reason to trust in him for everything. Lord's Day 10 explains the term providence of God. We need to understand what that means. We run into difficulties in our lives. Questions can arise. Does God control everything? How far does his power extend? Well, let's reflect on that together in the light of Scripture. The theme for this afternoon is the providence of God is all-embracing. We'll focus on two points: his fatherly hand, and secondly, his faithfulness. The providence of God is all-embracing. We'll note his fatherly hand, and secondly, his faithfulness. As we delve into the matter of God's providence, don't lose sight of his fatherly hand. Our God governs everything. And this thought shouldn't frighten us. It's meant to comfort us. Lord's Day 9 emphasized, God is my God and Father for the sake of Christ, his Son. And that's good news. Our God isn't at a distance from us. Although we are sinners, he has bridged the gap between him and us that our sins caused. Through Jesus Christ, he has adopted us in his grace. We now have a bond with him as his children. A good earthly father focuses on the well-being of his children. And that's even more true of our heavenly Father. He doesn't observe our joys and sorrows from a distance. He knows each one of us and is involved in all that happens to us. His care for us is very personal. Psalm 148 sings the praises of God as Creator. But note how the psalmist addresses him repeatedly as Lord. And I remind you again of what I mentioned earlier, how the Hebrew name Yahweh is being used in the original text every time you see Lord in capital letters. And that's a reminder that the God who created heaven and earth is forever present and active. He was, he is, and he will always be involved in the lives of his people. And after speaking about how the Lord created everything, the psalmist calls the angels and all the heavenly hosts to praise the Lord. He summons the highest heavens and the waters above the sky to join in praise. But in verses 7 through 12, his attention shifts to the earth. And note how the psalmist refers in verse 8 to fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. People talk about the forces of nature, meaning that these forces are often something you can't control. But the psalmist makes a point of highlighting that they do what the Lord commands. And so he not only calls the heavens above, but also the earth below, including people, creatures, and the forces of nature, to unite in praising the Lord. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Verse 13. And the term name highlights God's self-revelation. He has made himself known in this world. He has made himself known very personally to his people. Praise him, for his name alone is exalted. There is no God like him. He's unique. And the psalmist continues his explanation by saying that the splendor of the Lord is above the earth and heaven. And that's an important statement if you think about it. Even people think of their gods in terms of things in heaven or on earth. And they worship the sun, moon, and stars, or things in the world around us. Some make images to represent what they worship. The Bible tells us not to worship idols. God is the creator. He's not part of this creation. He reigns supreme over his creation. And meanwhile, God shapes this world's history. Look at verse 14. And he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. And the reference to a horn symbolizes power. It can point to the power of the king. Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, our King and Savior. And through faith in him, we may trust that we are close to the heart of our God and Father. And the love of the Lord for his people is personal. It's personal and intense. We know of His fatherly love, especially through Jesus Christ. The Apostle John puts it in John 1, verse 18, like this. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. As the Son of God, Jesus Christ was at the side of the Father. The depth of His bond with the Father is immeasurable. And the Father sent His Son into this world for our salvation. And as a result, we may know and acknowledge God as our Father. Trusting in Jesus Christ, we receive assurance of God's forgiving, caring love. Learn to recognize the hand of God in everything. Did you notice how the word hand gets stressed 3 times in Lord's Day 10? It's a very descriptive way of pointing to the personal involvement of our Heavenly Father in all things. Look at question and answer 27. Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds, as with His hand, heaven and earth and all creatures. And then after listing examples of how God governs everything, it stresses that all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. And then again, near the end of question and answer 28, where we read that no creature shall separate us from His love, for all creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will they cannot so much as move. And this reference to the hand of the Lord is very biblical. We find it repeatedly in Scripture. God's hand can bring both judgment and grace. The hand of the Lord is one of judgment against the enemies of His people. Moses spoke of this to Pharaoh on behalf of the Lord, telling him, "Let my people go so that they may serve me." And this command came with a warning. "For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep. A very severe pestilence." The hand of the Lord can also be a hand of blessing for the protection and care of His people. Joshua testified to the people of God that the Lord dried up the Jordan River for them, just as He had opened a path for them through the Red Sea, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And this is a radically different portrayal of God than the gods of the heathen. The Romans, for example, spoke of the goddess Fortuna, who could bring someone good or bad luck. Our English word fortunate reflects the belief in this goddess. Someone who is fortunate has good luck. Unfortunate points to bad luck. And the Catechism makes it clear that there's no such thing as luck or fortune. Nothing happens by chance. Whatever happens comes to us from God's fatherly hand. And this confession comes from God's Word. It echoes His promises and reflects His care for us. And this doesn't mean we will only receive good times in this life. Lord's Day 10 lists some contrasts that points to the trials of life. Leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. No one likes drought, barren years, sickness, or poverty. All these things can threaten our very existence or make our lives quite miserable. And when you experience such events, don't ask, "Where is God in all this?" All things are part of His providence. If we deny this, we're denying God's almighty and ever-present power. to declaring that God is not always involved in his creation. The Bible reminds us over and over that the Lord reigns. He reigns over heaven and earth. He governs everything. Also the details of our lives. That's not always easy to confess, especially when we go through difficult times. However, don't resort to thinking blessings come from God and everything else comes from the devil. Never detract from what Scripture says about God's providence. Otherwise, you will no longer know God as he reveals himself to us. You will lose this comfort that Scripture brings to us here. God can't rule over our lives without also having a hand in the minor occurrences. Minor events can have a major impact. They can even make the difference between whether we live or die. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stressed that our Heavenly Father governs everything. This includes even small creatures. We read in Matthew 10, the verses 29 to 30, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And this expresses how far-reaching God's providence is. Our Savior takes this providence of God as his point of departure when he concludes, "Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So don't be afraid when you go through something very difficult. Also, never conclude that you aren't valuable enough to have God's attention. If he cares about the little birds, he definitely cares about you. You are his child. And don't doubt his love, even if he would take you or someone you love away from this life." Remember what the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 1, verse 21. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He knew that going to be with our loving Savior and Lord was the best thing that could happen to him. But he also acknowledged, "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor." On this basis, we can conclude that if our God still has a purpose for our lives here on earth, we won't die. The providence of God is all-embracing. And the confession of God's sovereignty is comforting for all who trust in him. We may know him as our Father because he has revealed himself as such. He shows us his love despite our sins. Acknowledge God's fatherly hand. Also learn to see his faithfulness in all that he does. This is our second point. The Lord didn't step back from this world after making everything. He continues to be in control and has his purpose in everything that happens. The powerful hand of God is the hand of our Heavenly Father. He is faithful. Hold on to that knowledge. He who created all things still upholds them by his eternal counsel and providence. Now think once again of the contrasting list in question and answer 27 that we touched on. We often take for granted rain and sunshine, our daily food, home to live in, and perhaps the gift of health. When we do that, when we take it for granted, we risk not being thankful. Not thanking God for his blessings is pretty serious. And then we're considering ourselves fortunate or perhaps deserving. But nothing happens by chance, so there's no such thing as good fortune if something makes us happy. God's fatherly hand brings us many blessings. Praise him for that. And what about when difficult times come? Did you wonder where God's fatherly hand was when you had an accident? Or if you got sick, perhaps the question arose how this could be part of His plan for your life. Accidents and diseases rarely come at convenient times. We have our plans, and this is not usually part of them. But God also has a plan. Times of adversity have their place in it. Adversity is a word that refers to troubles, hardships, and the misery that comes with them. Times of adversity require patience. What does patience mean? It means that you put up with inconvenience and even suffering. You endure hardships without becoming resentful. You trust the Lord has a plan, and you continue to honor Him for that. Think of the man who was born blind, described in John 9. The disciples of the Lord Jesus asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Trusting that God has a plan doesn't mean you can't voice questions to Him. The book of Psalms gives us examples of God's people when they were in trouble. However, you still see faith in the Lord. People raise questions along with prayers for help and strength. They express confidence that the Lord hears them. Take that to heart and apply such scripture passages to yourself when you face stressful, painful times. The Lord is in control, and He is faithful. This is even true when people do wicked things to us or to those we love. And this is not always easy to accept. How can a good God allow evil people to hurt those whom He loves? He is holy. How can His plans make room for human sins? It's challenging for us to explain the connection between His providence and human responsibility. Let Scripture speak for itself in such matters. The Lord reigns. Don't blame Him for human sins. He holds people accountable for their actions. And trust that even sinful events have their place in God's all-encompassing work. He can bring good from people's worst actions. Think of what the Apostle Peter proclaims about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. This didn't happen outside of God's sovereignty. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ didn't take God by surprise. It was all part of His loving plan for our salvation. The Jews bore responsibility for this. How wicked to crucify the incarnate Son of God. In Acts 2 verse 23, we hear Peter telling them that Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. And there you have it. God's sovereignty and human responsibility brought together in one sentence. God had a plan. He allowed lawless men to crucify His beloved Son. He had a purpose with this. And those who listened to Peter didn't deny their responsibility. They had done a terrible injustice in ensuring that Jesus, who was innocent, would be crucified. In Acts 2 verse 37, we read their reaction when he concluded his speech. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' They realized they had sinned. Was there any hope of salvation for them? And Peter affirmed that there was hope by calling them to repent and be baptized. He promised them that they would then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's encouraging good news. Forgiveness is available even for terrible sinners. And that good news could even be proclaimed to those responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. They would receive forgiveness if they would turn to Jesus for salvation. Isn't God's grace amazing? The hearts of the Jews who repented must have overflowed with thankfulness. What about you? Think of the many ways you have offended God by your sins. His one and only Son had to pay for them by suffering and dying on the cross. Are you thankful that He has still saved you? In His providence, the Lord our God remains faithful to who He is as a holy and loving God. He extends forgiveness to people like you and me. On that basis, He teaches us to display a forgiving attitude toward others. And this doesn't rule out calling them to repent if the opportunity arises. Repentance is necessary for them to receive what is offered to them. But when they repent, we have reason to rejoice. Another sinner has been saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is faithful. He keeps that promise. All who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior will receive the gift of eternal life. And that's not just life that goes on and on. It's life in fellowship with God forever. That's what makes it so special. What a privilege. God is the maker of heaven and earth. He is our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Life for us here on earth might come to an abrupt end at an early stage, or perhaps after many decades. But compared to eternity, it's relatively short. How astounding that our Almighty God and Father draws people into eternal fellowship with Him, together with the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is His gift to us, guaranteed by Jesus Christ. Just think of what our Savior promised Martha after her brother Lazarus died. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. From a human perspective, death is a worst case scenario. Death puts an end to life on this earth. But from God's perspective, that's not a problem. Death marks the transition to a fullness of life with our Heavenly Father. Take comfort from that. In the meantime, keep trusting in Jesus Christ as the living proof of God's love. Lay your questions at the foot of the cross. Our Savior suffered and died there to atone for our sins. When the going gets tough, hold on to God's fatherly love revealed through the gift of His Son. That gift of love is for you and me. Receive it in faith. Treasure it from day to day. God's love is also there during the most difficult times of our lives. Then especially we face the challenge of trusting that all things work together for good to those who love God. Something good will come of whatever happens to us. We may not see it, but He calls us to believe it. And the promise applies to us individually and to us together as people of God. His name gets glorified when we pray to Him for what we need. We are expressing our dependence on Him. He is our almighty and faithful God and Father. His work of grace in our lives will continue. There may be many things that we won't understand, but nothing and no one can separate us from His love. Amen. Let's now, you mentioned prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we thank you that we may know of your power and your grace, your never-ending love extended to us. We thank you that we may embrace that in faith, looking to Jesus Christ, your Son, as the living proof of your eternal love. We thank you that He died to atone for our sins, that He has bridged the gap that we have caused, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are drawn into fellowship with you, fellowship that will never end. We praise you for that. We thank you that we may know from your word that you are almighty, and that you reign from heaven above over everything here on earth. And so we don't need to fear, no matter what happens. We don't need to fear when calamity strikes us, for your fatherly hand is there with us as well, to strengthen us and to carry us forward. We praise you for that. Father, we are also aware that your fatherly hand can be a chastening hand, that you chasten us, not to repay us for our sins, for how could we ever bear such a burden? But you chasten us, you discipline us for our good, that we may draw near to you with repentant hearts. But not every calamity is meant as chastening. It can also be meant as a test, a trial, something we need to bear. And how often we are reminded of our weaknesses in the face of hardships that we're called to endure. That we may turn to you and know that your strength is unlimited. You have your purposes, purposes that we do not always understand, that you fulfill for us personally, but also as members of your people, and for your people together. And so we may trust that whatever happens, you intend it for our good. Help us to hold on to that, to move forward in faith, guided by your word and spirit. Will you lift us up when we feel burdened? Will you strengthen us when we feel weak? Will you guide us onward, granting us ongoing hope through your word and spirit? For we are on a journey through life. The destination has already been determined for your children, for all who turn to you in faith. And that destination is one of eternal joy with you and with Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that even death cannot separate us from you. We praise you for the hope that you give, hope that is secure because of Jesus Christ, who is at your right hand, as our prophet, as our high priest, as our king. We pray that you will continue to give what is needed to all of your people, including ourselves, for body and soul, to the glory and praise of your name. We ask this for Jesus' sake. bringing you thanks.